Hi, I'm Kyle Woodbridge. Welcome to a special edition of a podcast of Impossible Things. I'm going to be reporting the signing of The Writer's Tale, a new book by Russell T. Davies and Benjamin Cook, going behind the scenes of Doctor Who. I'll be sharing my thoughts on the book, getting the opinions of some of the other fans queuing to get their book signed, and hopefully meeting the big man himself, Russell T. Davies. The time is now around 1:30. I've clocked off work early for the day, and I'm about to head into Cardiff Central to find my way to Borders and to get my hands on the book. Of course, one of the fun things about walking around Cardiff is that you can barely move for coming across somewhere that has been used for Doctor Who filming in some way or another. I'm just walking down Queen Street and we'll shortly be coming to where they filmed the scenes with the Doctor and Rose from The End of the World, where the Doctor reveals about how the Time Lords all died. Gallifrey burned. And Rose offers to take him out to get chips, which is bound to cheer him up. Round the corner from that, you can see the building where the Doctor and Donna dangled off in Partners in Crime. And just off another corner, within sight, is the new theatre, which was used for the filming of The Unquiet Dead. All around, Cardiff is full of these Doctor Who associations, which makes it rather fun when you can stop and think, the TARDIS was standing right here. And there's W.H. Smith, which has the Doctor Who association of my 4-weekly pilgrimage to get Doctor Who magazine, is something of a ritual. I've arrived at Borders Cardiff and it is now 2:00, so there's still 3.5 hours to go. There's a poster up saying Russell T. Davies and his co-author Benjamin Cook will be signing copies of Doctor Who, The Writer's Tale, 5:30 p.m. today. So I know I'm in the right place. It says only copies of The Writer's Tale will be signed. Access to the queue is on a strictly first-come, first-served basis. Please arrive early to avoid disappointment. Well, I think I've certainly managed to do that. Let's head inside. Well, I've arrived here in Borders Bookshop and everything's set up. There's a table which has the Doctor Who magazine poster of David Tennant reading Doctor Who Weekly at the front, a little board, a few copies of the book and Doctor Who magazine. There's some speakers and some barrier things ready to go up and plenty of Doctor Who merchandise about on the shelves and stuff, but as yet it looks like not a lot is happening. But there is one person who appears to be the first person in the queue, so I'm just going to go and say hello to her. And she's wearing what looks to be a Captain Jack costume. Hi, I'm Caleb. I'm from the podcast of Impossible Things. What's your name?
Hayes.
And when did you arrive here?
10:30.
10:30, that's keen.
So, for my mum.
So I take it you're a big fan then?
Yes.
Have you met Russell T. Davies before?
No, I have seen him around though, but I haven't had the guts to disturb him from whatever he's been doing.
Yeah. So whereabouts are you from? Have you come far today?
No, not really. Barry.
Alright, yeah, so pretty close. So what do you like about Russell T. Davies?
His creativeness. And the ideas for monsters and stuff.
Good. Yeah, well, I'm also a big fan, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in 3 hours and a half or so. But I think I might go and have a wander around before joining the queue. I'm sure I'll see you later. Thank you very much.
That's okay, nice meeting you.
So here I am. I've been and bought my copy of The Writer's Tale, £25, which is £5 off. You can get it cheaper off the internet, of course, but they don't have signings on the internet. Not yet. Cyber signings. I'm sure the technology is only a short way off. But yeah, It's a bit smaller than I expected, having seen the previews on the website. The text is fairly small, but it is a really nice book, a lovely hardback, glossy colour, lots of pictures and cartoons and all sorts of stuff. I asked the lady on the till about jokes about expecting the hordes to descend, and she looked at me with a sort of scared rabbits in headlight expression and sort of nodded yes, and warned me to get in the queue early because they didn't know how many people might turn up. And we all know what Doctor Who fans can be like, a enthusiastic bunch at the best of times. So I'm going to start reading the book now. I've got, still 3 hours to go. I've got the dictaphone, so I'll be able to record my thoughts as I go along. And as usual, I carry a pad of paper and pencil, so if I get bored of reading about Russell C. Davies' writing, which seems very unlikely, but I can get on with some of my own writing, aspiring writer that I am at the moment. Stephen Moffat said that anyone who wants to be a writer after reading The Writer's Tale probably will be, so we'll see how I stand up to this test of writerly something or other. Okie dokie, I'm sitting comfortably, so I'll begin. I've just finished reading the first chapter. I've drank most of my coffee. Lots of interesting little bits and pieces. One of the things that occurred to me while reading it was that it was during the time that the emails in the first chapter were being written that I interviewed Russell T. Davies on Friday, 23rd of February 2007. And it's just fascinating seeing where in the creative process he was at that point, all the things they were up to. The next day he was in Manchester, and yeah, just the little cross-section of the things that you, as a fan, I knew were going on from following Doctor Who magazine in the forums and the Doctor Who news, and then all the things that were being planned behind the scenes. That's quite interesting. All sorts of things from Penny, the companion who eventually became Donna, and some really interesting thoughts on writing, including Russell T. Davies' thoughts on sort of themes and how those come into his writing. It suggests that if you start with themes, then it probably leads to dull writing, but things inevitably reflect his thoughts, his worldview. He discusses the old rugged cross sequence in Gridlock, which as a Christian I found really interesting, because he talks about how he wrote it to explore the sort of opposite point of view, as it were, to show how good faith can be regardless of the existence of God, how it can unite and form a community and essentially offer hope. But his own viewpoint bleeds through, because showing the danger of that hope, if it's a false hope, then it if it stifles them from taking action. It's really interesting stuff. He says that I consider that I have something to say when I thought of a person, the moment, a single beat of the heart that I think is true and interesting and therefore should be seen. And I guess with some of my writing myself, that's something I find interesting, because it's something I think about a lot, is how much of my own ideas do I put into it? How much is... am I being a good writer and it just reflecting in a natural way? And how much am I pushing my agenda, though? My sort of agenda, the things I believe strongly in, are very different from Russell T. Davies' ideas, obviously. But, yeah, really good stuff, enjoying it. Like the cartoons, interesting on seeing his thoughts on how to bring the series back that he had in the 90s and how that changed when he actually got the job. But yeah, fascinating read so far. Looking forward to reading the rest. Just finished chapter 2. I've been to have a look. There isn't anyone queuing at the moment, but one of the Borders staff is busy putting out a pile of books, stacking a table with Doctor Who stuff, and I've spotted various people floating around sitting, reading Tortured magazine, clutching copies of the book, just a small handful at the moment, but people here for the signing. Yeah, there's still over 2 hours to go, but I'm very happy sitting here reading. I just read some really good stuff on writing that Russell T Davies laying into the idea of the tortured artist, where Russell C. Davies says, if those sorts of doubts that you're not important, I haven't suffered, I'm too young, happy, middle class to be experienced, are ever holding you back from writing, don't listen to them. It really is a tyranny, and it's bollocks. It's the idea that you have to suffer to be a good writer, he's saying, quotes, a moment's imagination is equal to a lifetime of experience. And I guess that for someone who's starting off as a young writer, that is one of the doubts that niggles away at me. So just on a personal level, I found that bit like, yeah, preach it, Russell. It's also fun seeing Russell being quite the fanboy with things like analysing the ratings for Smith and Jones after it airs, and just the general chit-chat, the views on things like Life on Mars and Skins and so on. It's just interesting to get that perspective on them. I might take a break from the book for a bit to go and wander around, look at the books on sale. Don't want to have read the entire thing by the time I get it signed. Will I succeed in my quest to speak to Russell T Davies live on the podcast? Keep listening to find out. But now, we take a look ahead to another Doctor Who event happening in Cardiff. Universal Appeal, and chat to the organiser, Melissa Beattie.
Melissa, thank you very much indeed for agreeing to speak to us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First things first, what is the thinking behind the Universal Appeal conference? What's prompted this?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll give you the short version of it. Probably 2003, 2004, something like that, I heard about a conference being run in Florida on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and its spin-off Angel.
Right.
And this is the first I'd heard of anything like that, and I thought it was very interesting. And then for the next few years, I just kind of bounced around ideas, thinking that would be something interesting to do, maybe with Stargate, maybe with some of the other types of things. And I talked about it with a few friends, but we never really came to anything. When I got into Doctor Who in 2006, again, it kind of struck me, well, this would be another one that you could do a really interesting academic conference on. Bounced around the idea in my head for a while, and then, again, didn't really come to anything until I moved to Cardiff to start my PhD. And then it was actually an offhand comment made to my friend Alex, who I had just met at a postgraduate mixer, really. And I said something to the effect of, you know, I think it'd be very interesting since the show next year, this of course is 2007 that we were speaking, is going to be going to its 45th year, and it's this iconic series, and there's so much reflection of British culture, and there's so many, you know, classical and historical themes in it as well. Wouldn't it be interesting to kind of examine that? And I think that would make a great academic conference. And she said, wow, that's a great idea. Can you write something up? And I said, okay. Went home, wrote something up, which eventually became our mission statement. Calling it a mission statement at that point is a bit kind, I think. More scattered, you know, random sentence fragments. Wouldn't it be cool if? And then I handed it to her, I think, a day or so later. 2 days later, we met in Cappuccino's, and we had the beginnings of our committee, and Alex has been my right hand ever since. We added people as we went along, got in touch with Matt Hills at JOMEC, who suggested one of his students, who became our liaison to JOMEC. We've actually just added someone about 6 weeks or so ago from Sci-Fi Society. And so it's been very much an organic process. That's kind of how it began.
Okay. You mentioned the mission statement.
Yes, mission statement in inverted commas.
Could you tell us a bit about that, please?
Of course. We have several, I hate to use the word agendas because that sounds so, you know, evil, but anyway, we have several agendas with this conference. One of them, of course, is the promotion and celebration of not only the series, but also the culture which created the series. I come from the United States. Sorry about all the global crises, by the way. That's totally our bad. Anyway, I come from the States where science fiction generally is marginalized. It is not mainstream. If you are a sci-fi fan, you don't tell people. At best, you're derided. At worst, you're considered unprofessional or you're beaten up. This is more, I would stress, in childhood.
Right.
not in childhood. Sure. These vigilantes attacking sci-fi fans in the Deep South.
Yes. Well, in the Deep South, that's an entirely different animal. But it's not considered mainstream. Whereas over here, people walk around in Dalek T-shirts, you know, adults, and it's not considered unusual or untoward. You're not considered a freak, for example, if you just like the show and if you talk about it. So, and to me, that's something worthy of celebration, because you have something so progressive, left-leaning, and really hopeful that has been just embraced by British society, which I think is fantastic. Another thing I want to do is get rid of what I call ivory tower thinking, which is twofold. In part, it's academics sitting up in their ivory tower looking down on the general public going, why would I want to speak to them? They don't have any sort of fancy letters after their names. They're not educated. Why would I possibly want to listen to them?
Academics couldn't possibly like that.
A few, unfortunately, do, though. I will say that it's starting to change. The more modern academics, thankfully. But you also have that, you know, view from the groundlings, if I can put it that way. I know that sounds horribly snobbish. But anyway, who look up at the people in the ivory tower going, they're all covered in dust, just sitting there thinking they provide nothing useful to society. And really, both of those are wrong. As I frequently say, arts and humanities take care of the citizen mind and soul, just like science and engineering take care of the citizen body. Mm-hmm. Plus, just because you don't have fancy letters after your name doesn't mean that what you have to say is not worthy of listening to. It doesn't mean that you're dumb. It just means that you don't have the educational degrees. But that is one of the things that I want to do. Because Doctor Who is so mainstream, it's a common language, I think, between the general public and academia. So we can exchange ideas and we can talk. We can start to learn to understand each other. And I think that's something we should work toward.
Okay, excellent.
Browsing the internet, I came across some people who weren't terribly impressed with the idea of academic conference about Doctor Who. What would you say to that kind of attitude, which thinks it's all a bit of pretentious nonsense, was a phrase they saw used?
Oh, really? Who said that? I'll find them and hurt them. I won't really find them and hurt them for anyone listening. I mean, kind of the easiest thing to say is, well, to each their own. I mean, obviously it's an opinion, and I respect them for having their own opinion. And as you may imagine, I do get asked that sort of question a lot. And it goes back to, I think, that the culture which creates a particular art form or a particular media is reflected in that art or in that medium. In order to understand yourself, you have to be able to examine your own reflection. So it's a way of looking at culture, looking at British culture in Doctor Who, or even Western culture in Doctor Who, because of course there are American influences and there are other influences in there as well. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. I know it's not a popular belief for a lot of people. They think, oh, it's just television. It's just there to entertain you. Well, yes, it is there to entertain you, but Doctor Who originally was what we would call in the States edutainment, educational entertainment. And there's still, I think, that aspect to it. I mean, I don't expect anyone to learn much about Pompeii from the fires of Pompeii, says the classicist. what was with that impluvium? Anyway.
Well, it did reference the Cambridge Latin series quite nicely.
Yes, yes, and actually there's a paper on that, which is quite amusing to me. Of course, I learned Latin from Wheelock rather than Cambridge, but so I didn't get that joke. I had to be told about it. But I got the rest of it. You know, Spartacus and Mrs. Spartacus and so on and so forth. It's quite meta, really. But yeah, I think the argument that I would give is it's a reflection of culture. And it may not be as tangible as we're going to build this wonderful machine which will make your life easier. But what's the good of that if you can't express what your society is about.
This is a massive event. We were discussing this on the way over here to record this. It's 3 days, which is longer than an awful lot of sci-fi conventions or few conventions in order to can you tell us a little bit about what's going to go to actually make up the conference?
On Thursday the 13th, we're having kind of an informal walking tour of just some of the sites of Cardiff. This is for anybody who's coming in early, doesn't really have anything to do, doesn't know their way around. So we're just meeting at about 1 p.m. at the Student Union and just wander about, really. Wander about city center a bit, you know. Here's where the doctor and Jack and Martha watched the master give his speech. Here's where you saw Tosh and Brie's grand gifts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then go down to the bay. You know, here's Mermaid Key. Here's the water tower. That's the non-tourist entrance to Torchwood. Here's the tourist information entrance to Torchwood. Here's the lovely restaurant Bosporus, which you saw in Boomtown. I was just there last night. It's very good food. And, you know, here's the expo, if the expo's open. It was closed as of yesterday for refurbishment, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know if it will be open. We'll find out. So that's, you know, the opening night event. We're not sure if we're going to do anything formal or not on Thursday. That kind of depends on venue availability. We may just, you know, anyone around can meet us for a drink. But everything really kicks off on Friday. Our registration opens at 8 a.m.
Right.
The actual conference events start out at 10. It's the, you know, hi, here's what you do in case of fire or Dalek attack. And then, that is part of the health and safety. Yes, Dalek attack, Cybermen attack, and a few other odds and ends. We'll have a whole slideshow to go with it. And and I hate insects. and then we have our keynote speech from Matt Hills. I'm not quite sure what Matt's going to do, but I believe it's going to be the introduction to his new book, which is all on academia and fandom. And then we start off with the first of our panels, which is, I believe, Subversion and Fan Studies. And then after that, we have... Actually, I do have the full schedule with me, if you'll bear with me a moment.
Yeah, sure.
Insert your own sound effects here.
So we've got some bridging music.
Yes, improvised jazz tunes while you wait. There we are. Thanks
this is James singing all of this. In the
yeah. He's available for... what was this? His number is...
All right,
get
here we are.
Bay.
Yes, starting off is Subversion and Fan Studies. There is a list of abstracts on our website, so I won't give you all of them right now, but I'll just give you a bit of a précis of what each of them are. One of them is going to be on nostalgia, specifically focusing on Time Crash and Sarah Jane. One is on the subversion of fandom in Torchwood, terms like retcon, for example. Yeah. Then critical cultural commentary in Doctor Who, which is mostly comedy. Mm-hmm. Then we have a bit of a break. there's also the sociology panel, and that will be an allegory of Empire, which is on Lumix Cyber Revolution. This is from Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel. We have class, citizenship, and culture in New Doctor Who. We have one on sight knowledge and the invisible terrorist in Doctor Who, which I think is going to be very interesting. And then probably our most controversial one is by a Canadian student, which is called Who's Doctor, which talks about the Canadian influence and possibly ownership or part ownership of the Doctor. We have told her we cannot guarantee her safety. We are also having a discussion panel that day. We're having a discussion panel each day. The panels will be, one will be on nostalgia and cult media. That's going to be run by my colleague, Ross Gardner. He's from Journalism, Media, and Cultural Studies. One will be on morality in Doctor Who, which will be run by me. And the other one will be an industrial panel, which will be essentially people in either who work on the show. We only have Rob Shearman at the moment. We don't know if anyone else is coming. If anyone is listening who would like to come, please come. We're more than happy to have you. But that may be almost anything. What's it like being a media scholar? What's it like working on television? What's it like working in theater? Etc., etc. Because we're not sure who's coming when, we're keeping all of this quite open. So just that little caveat for you. Events on Friday will end along about 5:30 or 6:00, somewhere in there. There'll be dinner break, and then at 8:00 we're having an opening night reception at Shot in the Dark. That's being hosted by the University Sci-Fi Society. That will feature, we're not quite sure, but games, probably discussions. Anyhow, and if you're very lucky, I'll sing something a cappella. Saturday, we're doing we're starting off with a bit on podcasting from these nice gentlemen. After which, we're doing a panel on masculinity and sexual identity, then a panel on classics and history, and then a panel on philosophy, which is the panel I will be performing in, which is called "A Kiss Is Just a Kiss, Except When It's Not: Life and Breath in the Hooniverse." Again, there will also be a discussion panel that day. We're not quite sure what it's going to be. That evening, we're hoping to have a screening of an episode. We're not quite sure. Keep apprised on our website. And then on Sunday, again, we will have a discussion panel, but we'll be leading off the day with a panel on technology. So that's new media, innovation, that type of thing. And then closing ceremonies will be at about 2:00. And then the committee will be collapsing.
I don't think we can blame you. After all,
so it is a really full schedule, then, isn't it?
Pretty much, yes.
And is this open to anyone, or do you
yes.
have to be an academic?
It's open to absolutely anyone. For all 3 days, it costs £20. 1 day, either Friday or Saturday, is £12, and then on Sunday, since it's really a half day, it's £6. We are asking that people register by the 3rd of November. This is so we can tell catering how many people we're having. You can register up to the day. You can just come in and buy a ticket, but you won't be able to have lunch, basically, because we won't have enough food.
Right.
So that's the only problem there.
Excellent.
And registration details are on our website.
Excellent. And there's a link to that website on our blog as well, so you
Great.
Can check it out there.
Nice.
Melissa, thank you very much again for talking to us. It's very good of you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to getting stuck in on the weekend ourselves.
Excellent.
And hope to see many of you there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hooniversal Appeal will be taking place from Friday the 14th to Sunday the 16th of November at Cardiff University. You can find out more through the link on our blog to the Hooniversal Appeal website. Hope to see you there. But now, back to the signing of The Writer's Tale. Hey, I'm in the queue of some of the fans now who are leafing through the book, and I've been speaking to a guy called David here. Hi, David.
Hi.
You've been reading through the first chapter or so of the book?
Yeah, I've probably only read about 10 pages, really, but already it seems very frank, as the reviews have said, and very interesting.
Great. So, yeah. So, any bits of that have particularly struck you as interesting so far from the first 10 pages?
Well, he's been talking a lot about the character of Penny, and it's interesting with hindsight to see that obviously Penny didn't materialise, and Penny didn't develop into Donna either, because he refers to her as a character possibly like Donna.
That's it's quite interesting getting that background.
Yesterday I went to W.H. Smith here in Cardiff to see if they'd got a cheaper copy of The Writer's Tale, and I got there and I couldn't find it myself, so I asked a member of staff. She walked around for 5-10 minutes and she found on the computer that they had 6 copies in the store. She eventually went and asked the manager, who revealed that those 6 copies had all been stolen.
Well, there's a good way and a bad way of looking at that. On the good side, you could say that all the thieves in Cardiff have good taste. On the bad side, you could say that there's some Doctor Who fans who are seriously unscrupulous.
Yeah, certainly. And I don't know how... Famously, the most famously stolen book is the Bible. I don't know how Russell T. Davies is comparing in W.H. Smith, Cardiff.
And you were forewarned in a way that I'd be here with my microphone, weren't you?
Yes, at lunchtime I was on the forum and I saw your post and I did think, oh, I'll look out for someone with a dictaphone.
Yeah, I had posted a message on Outpost Gallifrey, or Doctor Who Forum as it's now known, where people were saying, oh yes, I'll be going to the signing. So some people were forewarned, but yeah, thanks very much, David.
Thank
nice
you
to talk to you. I've just thought of a new game, Spot the Doctor Who Actors on the DVD covers. I've already spotted Clive Swift, otherwise known as Mr. Copper, on the cover of Keeping Up Appearances, and John Sim on Life on Mars. I'm sure this can keep me entertained for another good half hour or so. Oh, and I've just spotted the Doctor Who DVDs nearby. Obviously they don't count. Hi, I'm chatting with some more of the fans queuing up here. Would you like to just introduce yourselves?
I'm Josh.
And I'm Matthew.
I'm Terry.
Thanks for talking to us. So, you've got the book, and what do you make of it so far?
Unfortunately, I haven't reached the chapter titled Bastards yet, which was mainly the reason why I bought the book, but so far it's proven to be quite an insightful read into the workings of a writer, and it's quite interesting to see the different things that were rejected and changed and altered during the process of making the series.
It's an absolutely fascinating look into the writing process, and also it's great to see the drafts as the episodes have progressed from initial idea to what we actually saw on the screen.
Yeah, I really like the early draft for the Shadow Proclamation scene, which got cut for budget but would have had loads of returning monsters. So what do you think of Russell T. Davies? What has he brought to the show? What's his legacy?
Well, he's brought me as a fan to the show, really.
It sounds quite twee, but I really think that he's just brought so much magic back to television and people's lives and our little bit of the world in general. It was such a shame that Doctor Who was off the air for so long, and that there's a little generation of kids who didn't know who he was and grew up without him, and it's marvellous that it's back now and it's in such good shape, and it appeals to so many different people.
He's going to be remembered not for the man that brought Doctor Who back. I mean, obviously some of his other achievements as well, like Queer as Folk and Second Coming, can't be discounted, but that's what he's going to be remembered for, and I think that's what he should be celebrated for as well.
Great stuff. Thanks, guys. It's 25 past five. People are beginning to get on their feet, sort of in anticipation of the queue starting moving. No sign of action as yet, but can't be long. Can see the queue going round and round back towards the back of the store, so anticipation rising. It's now 5:30 by my watch. Ugh, these writers, always late for everything. He says entirely hypocritically. It's almost time. And here he is, and they're now arriving.
Hey!
And he remembered my name, which is very pleasing. Yeah, he recognised me from when I interviewed him for Guy Reeve and from the press launch. That's very cool. But they're now here, so it's great applause. So they're sitting down. I've not actually seen Benjamin Cook in person before, although I know his writing for Doctor Who very, very well, Doctor Who magazine and so on, also for Radio Times, just being photographed. Hey. And the first person is getting their book signed. Now, sadly I've forgotten her name. The one I talked to earlier in the Captain Jack uniform, who has been here since 10:30 this morning, who is very deservedly first in the queue. So, good on her, perhaps. Okay, here we are, just almost at the front of the queue, about to get our book signed. Russell T. Davies and Benjamin Cook are holding court at the front. A glass of water and a can of Red Bull on the side of the table. Queue moving at a good pace, but both of them quite chatty. So here I go. Just thanks very much for the 4 years so far of the great stories.
A pleasure, Caleb. Thank you for coming along today and queuing up with everyone. Are we podcasting? I'm on a podcast.
Now. Yes, podcasts of impossible things. I've been interviewing people in the queue.
I feel
thanks very much.
Pleasure.
I now have had time to read the book through, and I have very much enjoyed it, and here are a few of my thoughts on it. It has already been praised to the skies in many places, and I'm pleased to say that it lives up to the hype. This really is every bit as fascinating as you might hope. It will delight both Doctor Who fans and anyone who's interested in writing for television. And if, like me, you're interested in both, then this is the book for you. Benjamin Cook asks good questions throughout and is both sympathetic and probing in his questioning. It's often surprisingly frank and revealing. Now, Russell T. Davies is a master showman and storyteller, so to take everything he says to be the complete and unadulterated truth would be naive, to say the least. But this is probably the closest we'll get to seeing the inner workings of the mind of RTD, and whether you love or loathe his vision of Doctor Who, you're sure to go away from the book with an increased admiration for his energy, his hard work and commitment to the show. And one of the things that really struck me most in reading this is just how much he will be missed after he's gone. Stephen Moffat really does have an astonishingly hard act to follow, but Russell is clear that he has every confidence in his successor, and I think most fans also do, on the strength of his brilliant writing for the show so far. So we can only hope that in another 4 years' time we'll be enjoying reading The Writer's Tale 2, in which the Moth shares some of the secrets of his success. As the Doctor might say, time will tell. It usually does. You've been listening to a podcast of Impossible Things. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks to everyone who took part. If you have any comments, criticisms, or feedback, please email us at impossiblepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks very much.